my great pleasure to welcome everyone to the first in our three shiurim this year. We began an annual tradition a number of years ago. Rabbi Storch tells me that the official statistician of DRS, Rabbi Storch, tells me that this is the 10th year of the DRS pre-Shavuos lecture series. And these lectures are part of the Eliezer Baumol Creative Learning Program at DRS. We very much thank the family of Eliezer Baumol for supporting our programs. I want to begin by asking everyone to please turn off your cell phones, put them on vibrate. Tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Debbie and David Seltzer in memory of David's father, Bernard Seltzer, Yisachar Dov, Ben Harav, Reuven, Olav Shalom, and by Sheila and Alan Shapiro and family, L'zecher Nishmas, Sheila's mother, Perel, Bas Naftali Nachman, as well as for Refuah Shleima from Binyamin Zev HaKohen, Ben Sharon Rivka, Matisyo Yaakov, Ben Gittel Rivka. In the merit of the learning, those neshamos for whom we're being sponsored, Shav Naliyah, and all the cholim should have a Refuah Shleima. You know, people who are in chinuch are often looking for different ways to make money. So, there's a rabbi I know who, before this year's basketball season, purchased season tickets to the Chicago Bulls, thinking that LeBron James was going to select to play for the Chicago Bulls, and he would make a lot of money on the tickets, and he would be able to, you know, have some added income. How disappointed was he when LeBron James chose not to go to the Bulls, to go elsewhere, and he thought that the investment was gone. Little did he know that a not such a renowned player named Derrick Rose would walk on the stage and all of a sudden take a team that was destined for nothingness. And Baruch Hashem, this rabbi now has plenty of additional added income due to circumstances that he had no thought or control or desire to actually end up happening. And we were talking about this the other day, and he said, it just goes to show, I thought I knew how I was going to bring in the parnassa that I needed this year, and the Rebbe Shalom was just saying, you think you know what's going on, I run the world, and I decide what happens and how people accomplish what they accomplish. And I was thinking of what to introduce Rabbi Feiner with. Yes, it is true that in his younger days, I certainly knew that Rabbi Feiner knew how to play ball, but that's not what we're speaking about here. And you all know, we certainly broadcasted enough that Rabbi Feiner, we're so proud of the fact that he is a Howard Elementary School graduate. But I was thinking that Rabbi Feiner, for years and years, was sitting in the Kosle Beis HaMedrash in Eretz Yisrael, studying Torah, working on himself, and growing and developing into the person who he was, who he's become. And personal circumstances had it that he would have to come back to America. And I guess people think that maybe the primary reason that he had to come back to America was because of the personal circumstances that brought him here. But what ended up happening as a result of that, and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and makes things happen, is that an entire community and an entire congregation and surrounding communities, people have now been zochet to be inspired by him, to hear Torah from him, to experience his warmth and his caring personality, and I really feel like the Ribbono Shel Olam is mesavev everything. We think that we have one set of goals and ideals, and there's one plan happening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly making things happen. So our community gives HaKaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sending Rabbi Feiner to our neighborhood, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bless him and his entire family. We should only have bracha, hatzlacha, good health, and to continue to lead us until that time when we'll all be able to join Rabbi Feiner back in the Old City, where he spent so many years together with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim made happen here of Yameinu. Please give your undivided attention to Rabbi Eitan Feiner.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, shehakol nehiyeh b'vrah.
Thank you so very much, Rabbi Kamenetsky Shlita. That is certainly the first time I've ever been compared to a basketball player. Derrick Rose, I wouldn't mind, youngest MVP ever, 23 years old, though I probably would have opted for the Miami Heat tickets over the Chicago Bulls tickets. Show me the rabbi who actually had the Ezo Chacham Roa Sanola, who actually bought both Chicago and Miami tickets and didn't buy Los Angeles Lakers tickets. But I did notice the ad as well. I saw that it was proudly displayed. Rabbi Feiner is a Howard graduate in 1985, and the truth is I remember that year quite well. I was telling Rabbi Kamenetsky just a few minutes ago, I have some fond memories of that final year in Howard Elementary School, because they had appointed me to be editor of the yearbook. And somehow, unbeknownst to me, around my back, some of the co-editors, they put into the yearbook on their favorite sayings. You have to keep in mind that I am number 2 of 8, and 8 children way back then. Forget about it. I had one friend who has, he was 1 of 6 in his family. They called him the Brady Bunch. But the Feiners, we were like Yotzei Men HaKlal. 8 kids going back 25 years. Forget about it. It was unheard of. So they snuck into the yearbook on their favorite sayings. Eitan Feiner, my mother's pregnant again. Favorite TV show, 8 is Enough. A lot of you might not even remember that TV show. How they snuck these things, I don't remember. So I remember that vividly, and I also remember that our Rebbe in 8th grade gave us a Musar Shmuz. I'll never forget, came Rosh Hashanah time, and he says, come on guys, I know you're all going to Tashluch, you just want to hang out with the girls, that's why you're going to Tashluch, it's a social scene. The guys and the girls, we said, no Rebbe, we're going to Daven, we're going to, he says, come on, I know you're going to see the chicks. He says, let me tell you, we got Long Beach over here, and we got millions of seagulls all over the beach. You want to see the chicks? Plenty of chicks come out the day after Rosh Hashanah. I'll take you out to the beach, and we'll have Tashluch, right, by the seagulls, and you'll do Tashluch, and you'll do it the shame, the mitzvah. Some of the fond memories I'll never forget. Losing the basketball championship to Hafter, those things you try to forget. But Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of great memories. Unfortunately, there was no DRS back then, so I had to go to an alternative school. But Baruch Hashem, it's great to come back and to see what Halb has turned into, with, of course, the unbelievable Siyata Deshmaya, which would not even be coming if you didn't have the most unbelievable Menahel, Rabbi Kamenetsky Shlita, and, of course, the wonderful board, and all the Rabbeim, Rabbi Storch, who invited me to come tonight. It's an incredible schus, an honor, and a privilege. Well, let's not waste time. We have a lot of preparation to do for Shavuos, so let's sit back. Let's not relax. Let's buckle up for the ride, and let's talk a little bit about Shavuos. Let's talk about the greatest chasana ever. So you'll beg my forgiveness, those who might have been in the White Shul this past week, and if you weren't in the White Shul this past week, we're going to have to talk about that. But anyone who was in the White Shul this past Shabbos, we opened up with the following joke. So you had Harry and Sue, and they were driving down I-95, and speeding, going about 90 miles an hour, next thing you know, looks in the rearview mirror, that sight that nobody wants to see, nobody can stand. The lights, the sirens, the works, no choice but to pull over. As he pulls over to the side of the road, officer comes over and he says, may I see your driver's license and registration, please? He says, sure. He says, you know, sir, it's a 65 mile per hour zone. You're going well over 90. He says, officer, I was going 65. I don't know. I thought it was 66, 67. So all of a sudden, his wife, Sue, perks up and she says, honey, come on. I know you were going 90. We know you were going 90. You were so proud how I'm going 90. The cops aren't pulling me over. Don't give me any of this. I know you were going 90. And he gives his wife this dirty look. And then the officer says, you know, by the way, I noticed that your taillight was broken. So that's another ticket, by the way, because you're not allowed to drive with a broken taillight. He says, officer, I know what you're talking about. I left the house and everything was fine. It must be some kid threw a pebble. Something happened once I left the house, but I don't know anything about it. And again, Sue perks up his darling wife, and she says, Harry, come on. I know about, you know about that broken. Well, I've been screaming at you for months already. Harry, it's time. You got to get that taillight fixed already. And he said, no, Sue, don't worry about it. And boy, does he give his wife a dirty look now. And the cop isn't even yet done. He turns to the Harry Goldstein and he says, you know, sir, you don't have a seatbelt on. That's yet another ticket. No, officer, you understand, I had my seatbelt on. But when I saw that you pulled me over, I needed to get on my wallet, so I undid the seatbelt. And again, Super Summon says, Harry, you never put on your seatbelt. Come on. I know you. You're so bright. You're too lazy to put on your seatbelt. And Harry can't stand it. He turns to his darling wife and he starts screaming, will you just close your mouth already? Stop it. And he goes into a screaming tirade, and the officer can't hold himself back. And he looks at the wife and says, tell me, does your husband always speak to you like that? And she responds, no, only when he's drunk. So I shared with the tzibur, Eschatai Animas Karayom. I was invited to deliver a memorial lecture in Baltimore this past week. And lo and behold, the rabbi got pulled over for speeding. I'm telling you, I was just going with the flow of traffic. Honest. They might have been flowing a little fast, but I wasn't going that fast. And I was in the middle lane, and of all lanes. And sure enough, I got pulled over. And for the first time in my life, I only got a warning. A warning. That's unheard of. Now, when I was dating my wife, when you're engaged, forget it, your mind is not on the road, your mind is on your kalos. So of course, that's when guys get pulled over all the time, they get speeding tickets. I always tell parents, when your son gets engaged, forget it, take away the car. I have a sibling who got his license suspended when he was dating his wife. He should have cut down the engagement for 3 months to 3 days. The guy got 17 speeding tickets in 3 months. Yeah, mind's not on the road. So I get pulled over, I get a warning. First time in my life I ever got a warning. I said, this is going to be a great day. Yeah, I was going a little bit fast. I was in a rush. We had to get to Baltimore, and I only got a warning. Wow, this is going to be a great day. And Baruch Hashem, the lecture went well, and I got to see a lot of people. And we're coming back at night, and I get a phone call. Of course, you can never talk on the phone when you're driving, so I had to get one of these fancy Bluetooths. Didn't even know what these things were when I was in Eretz Yisrael. And now I have to drive with a Bluetooth. I have a lot of phone calls to make up. So I'm driving, and all of a sudden I get a phone call, and it's a friend of mine, and he says, Rabbi Funny, you're not going to believe this. Osama bin Laden just got assassinated, and I put on CBS News, and I'm listening to this, and then all of a sudden a woman comes on CBS News and says, this is the greatest weekend of my life, because everybody knows about the famous wedding, Prince William and Kate. Everybody heard and everybody read, and not too many people, I hope, got up at 4 in the morning to waste their lives watching this shtus. But I'll go upon him, everybody knew about the wedding. $60 million goes into this. No one's talking about the 300 plus people killed in tornadoes. No one's talking about what's going on in the Middle East. A wedding, for crying out loud, that's all it was, is a wedding. $60 million for a royal wedding. So she says this is the greatest weekend. In the same weekend, a prince wed and a terrorist dead. And then when I finished speaking, this past Shabbos, one of my balabatim came over to me and said, Rabbi, you got to change that statement. In the same weekend, a prince wed, terrorist dead, and the rabbi sped. So why is the whole world talking about the chasana? Because we get excited. Chasanas, we get labedik, we can put on a nice suit, a nice dress, and we get all fancy, we get all dressed up, and you know what? You're so labedik, it's so gavaldik to be in a Yiddish simcha. You have hundreds of people, you don't care that people are stepping on your brand new heels, your brand new dress shoes, and you don't care that people are schwitzing all over your suit, and everyone's having just an amazing time. It's ruchnias, it's labedik, it's dancing, it's gavaldik. But what lemais is the greatest chasen ever? The greatest chasen ever. It's not any royal wedding. It's not about $60 million. It's not about, oh my gosh, what's the dress? And is the chasen going to look at the kala when she comes walking down? And so let's put it out. Let's get up at 4 in the morning. Let's talk about it for weeks on end. We're going to talk about this chasen. And we have been talking about this chasen. And we're going to talk about this one for 7 times 7 weeks. 49 days until we get to Tishri Chamishim Yom. And we're going to celebrate this chasana like never before. So what do I mean that Matan Torah is all about the relationship, the krisas habris beinenu levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is this really all about? Well, if we want to understand something, the first place we always go is we turn the spotlight on the name. The name is always the window into something, into someone, some entity's core essence. That's the idea that the Baal Shem Tov writes in Panini HaChasidus. You look at the Etzem Ahus, the core essence of any individual, and that's, of course, your neshama. The Osios HaPnimios of neshama, Nun Shin Mem Hey, of course, the inner letters called Shin Mem. That means the inner, the Osios HaPnimios, the inner core letters of your neshama, the real you, the genuine person that you are, is your shem. And that's the Chiddush HaRim, the beginning of Bereishis, the beginning of Perek Beis, when Adam names all the creatures, Msukim, Yates, and Chaf, Perek Beis. So we have the Chiddush HaRim telling us, Shem Shom, there you are. It can highlight your essence through your name. That's the Gemara Brachos, Tav Zayin, Amar Beis. I'm Rabbi Yochem, and I'm the Shema Gorit. I know that your name highlights your true tafkid, your task that you were charged with, the responsibility that you carry on your shoulders throughout your life. Your tachlis is subtly alluded to in the context of your shame. And that's Rav Hirsch also adding that idea in his Perush al Torah. Also there in Parabrez, Abresha, Sham, there. There you are, I can find you. Sham, the place, your tafkid, misuyam in this world, is subtly hinted to in the context of your shame. Shame, osios, pinimios of neshama. That's your core essence. So if we're here to highlight Matan Torah, we have to look at two things. Number one, we look at the Nusach HaTfilah. And the Nusach HaTfilah in Yalla V'Yavo, when we describe, when we brand a unique appellation on this momentous day called the Chag HaShavuos, and our davening, it's not Chag HaShavuos, in Yalla V'Yavo, it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Interestingly enough, nothing about Zman Kabbalah's Torah Seinu. It's not about the Zman of Kabbalah. It's merely the Zman of Matan Torah Seinu. It's when Hashem gave it to us. So what does that tell us? In the end of the day, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you know what? We never got the Torah Shavuos time. We never got it. So when the Mishnah tells us on Tainus, Chavav Amar Beis, Yom Chasanos of Yom Simchas Livo, Yom Chasanos of Zem Matan Taira, Medushin Veikarab as well in Yudchav, Yom Chasanoso, this is Yom Matan Taira. The Gemara explains, flip a few pages, the bottom of Daflam Amar Beis, and the Gemara says, when Hashem Leal tells us in the Mishnah, Lahoy Yom Matovim, the Yisrael, Ketubah, the Kiyom Kippurim, the Gemara later on explains, it fleshes it out, Bishlama Yom Kippurim, Yom Slich, Machilo, Yom Shinis, Nubo, Luchashinis. The second set of the tablets of Luchas Achonis they were given. Why not in Shavuos? We only got them in Yom Kippur. That was Yud Tishrei. When Moshe went up, you see the Rabbeinu Machais and Chinuch and Parshas Vayakel delineates the whole chronology of events after he went up. Again, 40 days, and all the successes. Then on the 10th day of Tishrei, in Yom Kippur, that's when we got it. So we never got the Torah Shavuos time. I'm sorry to break it to you. It's not the time of Kabbalah Sotayr. It's merely this Zman of Matan Torah Seinu. What's it all about? Before we go there, why don't we just tackle a very simple question. Har Sinai. We say it all the time. Every child of 5, 6, everybody knows Har Sinai. Why in the world was the mountain called Sinai? If that's the name that's accorded to this unique, to this very special mountain, then somehow or another it's got to encapsulate, it has to encompass the core essence of what took place, what transpired during this monumental event. So what is Sinai? Well, let's flip to a Gemara in Shabbos. Let's go to Shabbos, now Petesim and Aleph. Certain young Tama Chacham went to the great Amora Rav Kahana and he says, Tama, Rabbi, why is it called Sinai? So his first crack at the answer is, well, Harbi Nisim Nasu Yisrael Sham. There were many miracles that took place to Jewish people there. He says, Rabbi, if it was about the miracles, then it should really more appropriately be labeled Nisai, not Sinai. Nisai Loshon Nisim. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. It's probably about the fact that there was a Simon Tov the Yisrael Shanasa Sham. It was a Simon Tov. He says, Rebbe, that's a nice answer. That's a nice approach. But it can't be correct. Then it should be called Simanai. And it's not called Simanai, Lashon Simon Tov. It's called Sinai. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. Go over to Rav Chisda and Rabbi Baruch Huna. They're the experts in Agadah. And they'll give you the answer. So he approaches them and they tell him, you know what it's all about? Sinai, of course, in the Hirschian world of phonetic cognates, it doesn't come as any surprise. Sinai sounds a lot like what? Sina, hatred. Yorda sinu la'akam alav. That's what it's all about. Hatred descended onto the nations of the world. Envy, jealousy, animosity. That's our scene. Now, and you flip the page to the top of page Testament base, and the Gemara says, well, if you hold like Rabbi Yavo, that the primary name wasn't Sinai, but it was rather Har Chorev, Shasham Yorda Churva li'akam alav. Is that any better? Churva, destruction, descended upon the world during Zman Matan Torsenu. At this mountain, you know what took place when we stood at the Piedmont of Sinai? It was all about Har Chorev Yorda Churva li'akam alav. And the Marsha parenthetically explains that the opposing views, whether it's labeled Chorev or Sinai, has to do with the fact that it's introduced to us on the pages of Chumash as our Chorev, but it's branded the appellation of Sinai more often than our Chorev throughout the pages of Scripture. Akoponim, whether you hold it Sinai, whether you hold it Tzchorev, but it's more or less the same, the common denominator. It's one of destruction, of animosity, of enmity. This is Kambolas of time. This is Mountain Tarasena. This is the mountain. This is what it's all about. Precisely. This is exactly what it's all about. Rashi in Zos HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Gimel and Pasuk Beis, quotes a well-known Sefri, Ofrim Eparon, Asim Yerbas Kodesh, Hashem Yisbarach Kaviyachol offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. Asa says, we don't want it, we can't do it, and Amon Amoav, Gilei Arayis, and Yishmol, Osignal, Osirtzot, okay, we can't keep the Torah. And Hashem then says, I'm going to offer it to Klai Yisrael, and we say Nasa V'Nishma collectively. We get the two Ksorim, the two crowns, Gemar and Shabbos, Pechesem and Aleph, Gevaldik, unbelievable, only we accepted the Torah. Right, so Moshe Chaim Litzado, the renowned Ramchal, and the Sefer Derech Hashem and Beis Dalet, before Matan Torah, if a guy wanted to convert, he didn't even have to undergo an exhaustive, thorough process of conversion. You just had to marry into the right family, that's it, to marry into Yaakov's family, give yourself a bris milah, or in a case of woman, just go in and do tefillah, and that's it, so, unfortunately, you don't have to do anything more, you're done, that's it, you just marry into the family, you pick the right shidduch, and your life is set. Post Matan Torah, the door is always open. Forever, the door remains open. Of course, Yiddishkeit, we're the only religion, we don't espouse sending missionaries out to the world, because we're like Lahavdil, the Honda Accord. Remember the old commercials? The car that sells itself. We sell ourselves. You want to come? Come get us. That's it. We don't have to run out and knock on your doors like Meshuggah has to convince you to convert. So the door is always going to be open. You can always decide to convert to Yiddishkeit if you want, but it's not easy anymore. You're going to have to undergo an exhaustive process, because after Matan Torah, we alone married HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we underwent an exclusive relationship. That was a Maisik Kedushin that took place already when we were taken out of Mitzrayim. And what's Kedushin all about? You go to Maseches Kedushin, the top of Daf Beis and Beis. The very reason why it's called Kedushin is because when a man takes a woman's hand in marriage, Asur La Kuliyama Kehektish, you take her hand in marriage by forbidding her, she can no longer play the field. It's about an exclusive relationship. She's exclusively yours. You thus, in a sense, allegorically, you consecrated her. She belongs to you, like if you're mocked as something to the base of Mikdash, she is now yours, consecrated to you. Ishki yikach isha. And that's a kedusha. Exclusivity, everybody's out of the picture. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells us in Brochus, the bottom of Dav Zayin Amin Aleph, he had three requests. Request number one was, Shetishra Shina al Yisrael, says Hashem, I want you to rest your divine presence on the Jewish people. But he's not done speaking. We go to request number two. Ubike shalot tishra shchina lumas olam. And I don't want the shchina to rest on the nations of the world. Ask the Vilna Gaon and ask so many commentaries. What's going on? If you already presented a supplication, a request, that I want Klai Yisrael to have the shchina l'may nafkamina, who cares mach batalanu if the goyim have it? You know why? We do care, because it's all about exclusivity. We're the only ones married to God, and everybody else is now going to watch, going to witness from the sidelines. We establish an exclusive, covenantal, eternal relationship with God, and everybody else is out of the picture. They mechutz l'tmanah, and thus that is the essence of what took place at Sinai. In the end of the day, we didn't get the Torah there. It's not Zaman Kabbalah's Torah Seinu, it's rather Zaman Matan Torah Seinu. Hashem gave it to us. And the Medrash writes in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Lam and Gimel and Os Aleph, Hashem Kaviyochel didn't just give us the Torah, he gave us Kaviyochel a piece of himself. Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem, Brocha Seim and Beis, Ein Tov El Torah. He gave us his most prized, his best possession in the world, Torah Seinu and Kadosha. But he didn't just give us the Torah, he gave us a piece of himself. We have a piece of godliness because he gave us the Torah. We got married to Hashem, and that's why it's called Sinai. Because the nations of the world recognize that. We're the Amma Nivchar, which itself connotes that we alone were chosen, Lafuke, to the exclusion of everybody else. We're chosen above all others. We're called the Mamlechas Kohen and Magai Kadosh. Interesting. The juxtaposition of Melucha, yes, a kingdom of priests, but breaking the two words apart, we encounter a mention of Melucha and a mention of Kahuna. You turn to Moed Katan, Chavchesam, and Beis, and the Gemara tells us, based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Kechosin, Nechayim, Pe'er, we witness the juxtaposition of Kohen to a Chosin, and from that the Gemara infers that a Chosin sits at the head of the table just like a Kohen, and writes the Hakdama Sefer Nisuin Kel Chosin. You see that a Chosin is a mile of Kahuna, in addition to the well-known Pirkei Lozer in chapter 16, Chosin Domo L'Melech. A Chosin is likened to a king, Ma King, Ma Kimelech, Ma Chabdeno, so Ma Kalsino, so we extol his virtues, so do we do that to a Chosin. We praise the Chosin. Mamlachas Kohanim. Melucha, Chasan Domel Melech. Chasan Domel Kohen, Mamlachas Kohanim. Mamlachas Kohanim. We got married to Hashem. That's what Matan Torah is all about. And thus, throughout Parshios Yisro Mishpatim, what are you going to read about? You can read about the Oran HaBris, the Dam HaBris, the Sefer HaBris. It's all about Bris. It's all about the Krisis HaBris, Beinenu Levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what transpired. That's the essence of what really took place at Sinai Shavuos time. We established an eternal covenantal relationship with Hashem Yisbarach to the exclusion of everybody else. You're just sin alakim love, they hate us. You know why? Because they know, they're cognizant that we alone are God's figurative kala. We're His bride, and everybody else is now out of the picture. That's why they're jealous. That's why you're the churva alakim. That's the source, the origin of all anti-Semitism. They know that we are indeed the chosen people. We're God's cherished nation. We're Amasagula. We're the Amanifchar. So on and so forth. So we had a marriage with Hashem called a Krisas Abris. You find in Sefer Malachi, Parak Beis, Pasuk, Yudalid, Ishes Brisecha. Person gets married, your wife is called the wife of the Bris. Asks the Maharal Miprag in a number of places, why do we refer to marriage as a Krisas Abris? Sanhedrin Chav Beis and Beis, and Isha caresses Bris, and Levisha Osa Sakli, Taisis Bringsin, and Ksuvis, Abdallah, and Aleph. Why do we refer to marriage as an act of Krisas Abris? Explains the Maharal, you know why? Because Krisas means to cut off. To get married means you got to cut off a piece of yourself. What is a decision? The biggest decision you'll ever have to make in your lives, for most people, is whom you're going to marry. Why is it called decision? Decision actually comes from the etymology is traced back to the Latin word for side. Suicide, killing of oneself, homicide, killing of another person. You know what a decision is? You cut off a piece of yourself. Let's say you like ice cream. Let's say you haven't yet decided to keep Chalav Yisrael, and you're still going to Haganas or Carvel, or any other Chalav Yisrael place that they have on Central Avenue, if it exists. I don't know. Lactose intolerant, Baruch Hashem. No big sign of Chalav Yisrael. So you walk into an ice cream store, and you like vanilla, and you like chocolate. So there's a part of you that wants vanilla, there's a part of you that wants chocolate. Now you got to make a decision. Big, crucial decision-making time here. Well, if you opt for the vanilla, because your wife is going to shoot you if you come back with a double scoop, so you can only go for one, so it's got to be vanilla, and you cut off chocolate. That means you cut off a piece of yourself. You made a decision. You wanted vanilla and chocolate. You cut off the piece that wanted the chocolate. That's a decision. If you look at Robert A. Levine's book, A Geography of Time, on page 159, he says the word crisis is in fact interlinked with what decision? Crisis is a monumental point of decision-making time. Crisis, any coincidence, Lefianias Daiti, crisis, crisis, cutting off. It's cutting off a piece of yourself. The biggest decision you ever have to make in your life, who are you going to marry? Because what's marriage all about? Explains the Maharal. You have to undergo a crisis of bris. You have to cut off a piece of yourself and allow somebody else in. It's all about recognizing one's deficiencies, one's chesronos, and your tchunas and nefesh, and your midos. Where do you have a void, a vacuum that needs, by definition, to be filled? And those, you have to go and get married. You have to find someone who's going to compliment you. That's the whole idea of the rib. Adam and Chava, let's go back. Let's rewind to the story of creation. We all know the famous joke. What was the first thing Eve did every time Adam came home from work? He checked how many ribs does he have left. It's the first thing, right? That was the greatest marriage in the history of all. Of course, everybody knows Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, the world's greatest marriage. She didn't have to hear about how great his mother cooked, and he didn't have to hear about all the guys that she dated. Great marriage, this was it. And they started out as one, of course, this is the Gemara in Brochas, Samachalaf, Amanalav, Ksuvist, Abchas, Amanalav, Zachar, Nekeva, Baram, an androgynous being. What's the idea of an androgynous being? And writes the Gron, Adair, Shaliel, the Malbim, and so many other Mepharshim as well, Rav Yitzchak, Isaac, Chavar, and Tziach, Yitzchak. Every other animal came into the world as distinctly male and female, two separate beings. Mashenkin, when it comes to Adam and Chava, they're one being, because the Tachlis is to become one. Man is not complete until he gets married, right? We all know that one. You're not sholem, you're not complete until you get married. Man's incomplete until he gets married. When he gets married, then he's finished. So you have to look to get married to find that missing bone, that missing rib. That's Kedushin, that Bezim, and Bezim, it's a Derech of the Isha. Of this to be Choser Alavei Doso. You have to find the missing rib. Parenthetically, the Arizal writes in Likutei Hashas and the Gemara Kedushin, the bottom of Chavtesim and Beis, the Gemara says, Mishnah already in Perkei Elvis tells us, and Hey Chafalef Ben Esrim Lirdof, at 20 years old, you got to run. I'm not giving anyone any eitzos here. You're going to listen to your Rosh Hashiva, you're going to listen to your Rebbeim. Shimon Esrei Lechupa, we all know that famous 18 years old. Rabbi Yaakov Kaminsky said, you know, a number of years ago, 23 is the equivalent of 18 today. But the Mishnah says, B'nesu Lirdov, the Anaf Yosef Mariel, the Mefarshim, it means Lirdov Achare Isha. It's time, a man has to undergo the chase. You got to go look for a wife. So when you get to 18, you're ready. Now again, that doesn't mean today, and Rabbi Feiner didn't say anything about when guys should start dating, looking to get married, but again, 18, 20, it might change nowadays, you'll ask your rebbe. Al kaponim, the Gemara says, if you don't get married at 20 tipachats, most of your bones are going to blow up and expand in your body. Explains the Ariza. Why? What's the mida k'neged mida? Because your wife was fashioned by even as a tzala achas mitzalosov. One of the ribs of Adam was taken away in order to create Chama, even a Satzela. And therefore, if you're not interested in getting married and finding the missing rib, well, somehow that void, that space inside you needs to be filled. So Tipa Chas Moisef writes their result, the other bones will have to complement that missing void, that missing space, and they'll fill up inside the body. If you're not interested in locating that missing rib, you got to find the woman that you started out with. This is two halves of one soul. You're two halves of one Neshama. You are and Adam Sholem together. That's why a person is supposed to get married. Yavama Samach Beza Beza Shori below Isha, Shori below Torah, below Simcha, below Tova, below Shlemus, Bracious, Beshir Ches, below Tov, Heyus Adam Levado, Esel, Isa, Kenevim. It's not good to be alone. You got to get married. You have to be Mashlem yourself. So marriage with Hashem and Har Sinai was all about the water, Krisus, Abris. That means Hashem cut off Kaviyachol, a piece of himself. Gave away his Torah, his most precious possession. And what did we give up? We gave up plenty. Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Tes, and Aleph. Kiddush and Daf Lamed Beis, and Beis. How do we make it our Torah? When we sacrifice through the medium of our Yegiyah, our Melus, our incessant and diligent toil in the study of Torah, we sacrifice, we give up. Look, to be a Frum and Erlechiyin in this world today, we got to give up. We got to give up plenty. We're not supposed to get up at 4 in the morning and watch ridiculous weddings. And we're not supposed to go ahead and get season tickets to every single Chicago Bulls game unless you want to make a lot of money because you want to support everybody in learning. You want to send a big donation to DRS, of course. You have to know, what are we caring about? We have to make sacrifices in life. That's what marriage is all about. You got to sacrifice. The guy's got to give up and the girl's got to give up. That's what it means, a krisus abris. You got to cut off a piece of yourself to enter into eternal covenantal relationship with somebody else who exists outside of you. And that's precisely what transpired at Har Sinai. We gave up a heck of a lot, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol gave up plenty, gave up his most precious gift, and we got married to Hashem and Har Sinai. Thus, the Baal HaTurim and the Rokeach writes in the respective commentaries in Parshas Yisro Perek Yates Pasuk Beis, you know what the luchos were? That was the shtar kedushin. You learn Maseches Kedushin, the opening Mishnah. Ha'isha niknes b'sholosh drachim, ha'kones atzur shtei drachim. Ha'isha niknes b'kesef b'shtar v'biya. Shtar! Hashem had to acquire us. How did He acquire us? With the shtar kedushin. What was that? That was the Torah. Take a look at the Ramban in this Perush al Torah. Parshas Yisro Perek Chaf Pasuk Gimel. He brings down a Medrash Rabbah. The reason why there were two luchos, why are there two tablets? We need to have two tablets. God couldn't figure out a way to put all 10 commandments on one tablet. Why two? Writes the Ramban, it's based on a Medrash. Keneged, yes, mitzvahs bein adam l'malkum, bein adam l'chaveru, and chosan kala. That's what it was. Chosan kala, but they're glued. They're fused, they merge together. That's exactly what the luchos represented. This was the luchos abris, the dam abris. It's all about the krisas abris. Hashem says chosan kala were coming together. That's exactly what Matan Torah is all about. Hashem acquired us throughout all the other nations of the world. We got married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what you see in the Pesik der Rabasi, and the Medrash Shirashim Rabbah, and Rashi, and the Gaon's Perushim on Shirashim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. We got married to Hashem and Matan Torah. Well, we got a perplexing Gemara we have to deal with, because we're quite familiar with the Gemara in Shabbos, Pechesim and Aleph. The Gemara says, Kof Leim Har Kegigas. Hashem, if this is a chasen, what type of chasen is this? You're going to put the mountain overhead and you're going to threaten us? We learn Maseches Kedushin, Yisha Niknes, you can't be Kona, a woman, Bal Korcha, willy-nilly, against her will. So how can Hashem force it? So Taisus has to kash them, Nerush Tanchum, and Parshan Ofa, Panei Yeshua. Everybody has to kash. We send us in Yeshua, we didn't want it. So what's Kaflei Maki? What's this mountain, this intimidation, this frightening situation we now found ourselves in with a huge, humongous mountain hovering above head? Explains the Hafla, Reb Pinchas Levi Horowitz, Rebbe Lachsam Sefer, he writes, in his introduction to Sefer Mikna Kedushin in Oz Gimel, he writes a similar idea in his Sefer Hafla and Ksuvis by the Sugya Shever Bachas Dav Zayin Amud Beis, the Marsha Redi and Chedushay Agadis alludes to it as well. And it's something that Aruch HaShulchan himself writes, Midai to the Navshay in his Perush and Evanesha, Simulam Dalit and Oz and Sif Dalit. And the idea is You know what Kaflim, I can just conjure up that image. You know what the mountain was? That was the chuppah hovering above that. That's what it was. It was a chuppah. We had a chuppah hanging above our heads. We got married to Hashem. Rokeach and Bala term the luchos, that was the Shtar Kedushin. Chuppah hanging above our heads. Oh, and by the way, how long did we spend at Sinai? How long were we there situated at the Piedmont of this unbelievable mountain? For a year's time. Why a year's time? Right? The morale in two places. Gor Aryeh Parshav Aloscha Paragir Pasagin Aleph. Again, in Parshas Emor. You know why he kept us there for a year? Because there's a din that a chosen has to be Mesameach HaSakala Shan Rishon. So God's the chosen. We're the Kala. Hashem is to make us happy. He says, I can't leave. In fact, Rav Chaim Kanevsky in Der HaSicha, Chelek Beis, he was asked by Rav Eli Yomon, what's the nafkamina lalach, the practical application of Shon Rishona nowadays? Explain Rav Chaim Kanevsky, it means that when you get married the first year, a husband can't go anywhere without first asking his wife permission. It's Keilu, she's got you on a leash. I know all the women are thinking, why didn't you tell me that the first year, Rabbi? What are you telling me now? Mashma, by the way, after the first year, could be the husband could leave without having to ask permission. It's not the right thing to do. Don't make any diyukim here. But that's the halacha l'maisa. You're not allowed to go anywhere because she owns you. That's it. Simcha means I'm there. Hashem says, I can't leave. We're not going anywhere. We're spending a year here. And that's the greatest exception. You don't need any internet. You don't need any iPods. You don't need Chicago Bulls. Derek Rose. You don't need the King James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. You don't need any of that. This is it. This is mom's the greatest simcha in the world. We had the chasna. We're there at the base of Sinai for a year. We had the Shtar Kedushin. We had the Krisis Abris. We get married on the Melachas Kohen of a guy Kodesh Gevaldik. This is unbelievable. That's what Matan Torah is all about. It wasn't about Kabbalah Sator because, by the way, we just never got it. But through the medium, via the conduit of the Torah, an eternal covenantal relationship was established between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We got married to Hashem. And that's what Har Sinai is all about. And thus we go back to the names, and the names in fact highlight the essence. You know, a lot of people when it comes to names, they mess it up. In fact, Rabbi Kamenetsky mentioned Chicago Bulls. I can never forget, as a rabbi in the community who told me the story, he was once asked by someone to do the Kriya Shem by a girl, and he was up to the Kriya Shem, and he says, okay, tell me what's the name? And he says, Michaela Yardena. I really hope she's not here, by the way, tonight. If she is, I apologize. Meirosh, but he says, well, it's a beautiful name. Tell me, where'd you get the name Michaela Yardena? He says, well, Rabbi, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Michael Jordan, Michaela Yardena. I don't know. Okay. I met the family in Eretz Yisrael. And they named their daughter Behema. Behema. How do you name a girl Behema? Why? Because they will abomage. Baruch haba melech ha-mashiach, Rosh HaTevis. I don't know. You know, so a friend of mine was in the hospital once and they said that they were next to this African-American lady who had just given birth herself. And she said, tell me, what'd you name your daughter? And she said, I named her Finale. Says, where'd you get the name? Says, well, my husband and I, we couldn't really come up with a name, so I just looked at the incubator within into which the doctors put our children, and it seems they already named her because they wrote F-E-M-A-L-E by her incubator, so we figured they named her already, Femali. Female, Femali. So I was telling over that story to someone, they said, Rabbi, my brother is a doctor, I can't tell you how many Frady Katzes there are in the world. How many Frady Cats? Frady Cats? Frady Cats? You have a lot of interesting names. Somebody told me a story in Brooklyn that Ashkenazi guy had married a Syrian girl. And you know, in the Syrian culture, there's a well-known minhag that you name after living parents, not deceased ones. So they named after living parents, and the only grandparent that hadn't yet had somebody named after her, her name was Mercedes. Okay, it's not bad. They're names. You know, Mercedes, we could deal with it. The problem was his last name was Benzel. Mercedes Benzel just didn't go over too well. So a name, you have to be very careful when it comes to picking a name. This sums up the essence of something. So if we're going to pick a name, what is it called? It's not Zman Kabbalah Torseinu. In Yalav Yo, it's Bedavka. It's specifically the Zman of Matan Torseinu. And in Sinai, it's Chorev, it's Sina, it's Chorva. Aye, destruction, that's not what we want to convey. That's exactly what we want to convey. We got married to Hashem. I'm sorry, Goyim, but you're out of the picture. That's it. Christians, Muslims, you had your chance. Yishmo, Amanamo, you offer the Torah first. What do you want? So that reason writes in Shar Gagulit that whenever we have a goy who converts, Gershon is guy, Kikonshin Oladam, Yivamus Chabesim, and Allah five times in Shas, we can have a ger who converts, and it's a new lease on life. You can convert if you want, writes the Arizal. Anyone who converts, it's a Gilei Milsa, discloses to one and all that it must be their ancestor, Sudat Sinai. Or when Hashem offered the Torah, the nations, what do you think? Nobody in the other nations wanted it? Of course they did. But the majority, Achri Ram Hafiz, you go up to the majority didn't want it, but Avada, certainly there was a minority who wanted it, so it's their descendants who now come later on, generations later, and convert to Judaism. That's the core essence of Matan Torah. And thus, that's a Yontif. So now we go back to even Yom Kippur. What was Yom Kippur? In a sense, Yom Kippur was the Hashlomo, the completion, the culmination of what began earlier, Shavuot's time, is Mamat HaToseinu, reaches its climax with Yom Kippur. So how is Yom Kippur described? Mishnah Tainis, Yom Chasanoso, this is the day of Matan Torah. And the Gemara explains, this is a reference to Yom Kippur. This is the greatest Yom Tif. Now let's understand, why is it called a Yom Tif? So if under Pach Yitzchak and Pesach, Maimar Lamedi has an interesting Mahalach, an interesting approach, why we call it a Yom Tov. Why do we call festivals in Judaism a good day? Well, listen to an unbelievable Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon writes in Penina Mishulchan Agra, Parshas Rei, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Ches, says, you know why we call it a Yom Tov? Because we paskin Rabbi Yeshua. We have a well-known machlokas, a dispute appearing twice in Shas, Be'ah Daf Tezvav Amad Beis, Pesachim Daf Samach Ches Amad Beis. And the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yeshua says, every Yom Tov chalkeu, divide it, split it up, half is for God and half is for you. Divide it up. So let's divide up Lashem, writes the Gra. Let's divide up Lachem. Lashem is Lamed, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Lamed is 30, Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. That means Lashem is 56. What's half of 56? 28. And what's Lachem? Lamed Chaf Mem. Lamed Chaf Mem yields a gematria of 90. What's half of 90? 45. Every Yom Tov is Chalkeu. Chalkeu, divide it up, split it. Half for God and half for you. Chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem. So half of lachem, half of 56 is 28. Half of lachem, 90 is 45. What's half of 90, 45? With half of lachem, 56, 28. 45 and 28 is 73. What's the gematria of Yom Tov? Exactly 73. And that's why it's called a Yom Tov. 73. Wow, is that sweet or what? Come on. How long do you think it took the Gra to come up with that one? About a quarter of a second. Yom Tov is Gamatria 73. Chalkeu, it's half of Lachem and it's half of Lashem. That's what's called a Yom Tov, a good day. So what do we say marriages? Let's go back to Bereishis. Beis Yirches. Lo Tov Heyosad and Levado. The first time in all of Tanakh we encounter this description is, well, Lo Tov. Yevama Samach Beis and Beis. Shari below Isha, Shari below Tofa. You're not complete until you get married. So this is a Yom Tov. We got married to Hashem. And this is the greatest Yom Tov. This is the one. The Gemara explains that even Rabbi Elazar says that every yontif you have the choice. You can make it all for God or all for you. But Kuli Amamoni, everybody agrees. The Ba'ina Nami Lachem. On Shavuos, it's a, why on Shavuos? Why out of all the yontif is that because Shavuos and Eid Lachem? Because Shavuos was a marriage, and marriage means both sides giving up. It means God says, I don't want the whole day for me. The day's about me, and the day's about you. It's a marriage. Torah Tzivolana Moshe, Marosha Kilas Yaakov. We know the Gemara Msochim. Memtes Amon Beis, the Gemara Brochas Daf Nun Zayin Amon Aleph, Torah Tzivolana Moshe Marosha Al Tikri Marosha Elamu Rasa. We got engaged to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we got married ultimately to Hashem. A marriage is a krisis, a bris. We give up and God gives up. It's the marriage. Hashem gave in, we gave in, and we got married to Hashem. That's the krisis, a bris, the Oren Abris, the Luchas Abris, the Sefer Abris. That is what it's all about. Not like, remember watching, you know, when you can't sleep at night when you're a kid. You didn't have to sneak into your parents' bedroom. Nobody had TVs. No one had iPods, computers, any of these things. You had to see and you watch David Letterman late at night. There's nothing else to do. And I remember he was going through top 10 summer activities. And top 10 summer activities on the list was look outside your window and watch as all the 10 commandments get broken on the streets. And it's terrible. 10 commandments? How many people even know all the 10 commandments? But you know what? It wasn't even about the 10 commandments. It's not what it was about. It was through the conduit of the 10 commandments we get married to Hashem. It was all about the marriage. It's the greatest chasen ever. It's Muresa. It's Kafalei Markagigas. It's the year Shana Rishona. Put it all together. That's what it was. The Shnei Luchos Abris, Chosen Kala. That's what transpired at this mountain. And thus we got married to Hashem like never before. So the Midrash tells us that every time we heard an Asay, we said Hin. Every time we heard a Lav, we said Lo. We said Lav. What happened? Asked the Rav Sar Sholomi Bills in a collection of Shabbos Miras from Chassidus Rebbe's. The Belzer Rebbe was asked, what did Klai Yisrael respond When they heard Anochi v'lo yilcha b'dibra chanemru, they were said at the same time. What did they say? Him love, love him. What did they say? He says, you know what they said? Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenosh Shemecha. Why? What's that all about? I believe the idea is as follows. The Vilna Gaon writes in his unbelievable commentary in Shir Shir and Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, Yishakeni Minashiko Spio Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayim. And Matan Torah, you know what we encountered? Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu. Pihu should be, we should invoke the typical, the expected masculine gender. It should be Yishakeni Minashikos Piv. What's Pihu? Peyud Hevav. Writes the Gro, this is all about Matan Torah. And Matan Torah was the juxtaposition, the smichus of the Hey and the Vav. What's the Hey and the Vav? Notice, explains the Gro, how anytime you want to change a word into masculine gender in Lashon HaKodesh, you always add a Vav at the end. Lo, O Sol. Shulchano, Kiso, Sifro. Anytime you want to make a word feminine in gender, what do? You add a hey at the end. La, Osa, Shulchano, Sifro. Devarim Gedol, Amin, Amin, Mekon. Nothing's coincidental. Why do we add a vav to make something Lashon Zachar and contradistinction to adding a hey to make something Lashon Akeva? Writes the Gra, who heard Torah Shebach Sav first? We go back to Yisro. Yitzes Beis, Korsomer, Lebeis Yaakov, Isaki, Lebnei Yisrael. The girls heard the Torah first. The woman, because some of the base Yaakov, and only then the Sagi Lebanese, so the woman have more of a kesher to Torah Shemasav, and everybody knows this, yeshiva guys, right? Yeshiva guys, how many of them know Tanakh? How many yeshiva guys know Tanakh? But girls know Tanakh. And there are guys that complain. I remember when I was learning in Yisrael, there was a balabos who came, there's a famous story, a balabos came to Rav Rudiman, the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, and he says, this is terrible, I'm giving money to the yeshiva, and the guys don't know things, they're learning Gemara all day, they don't know any Tanakh. He says, what do you mean they don't know any Tanakh? He says, yeah, the girls, they're all learning Tanakh, they know Tanakh. But the guys don't know Tanakh. He says, what do you mean? And he brings over, he says, let me show you an average bacher. He was one of the best bacher. Yitzhak Breidowitz, a genius. Mom's a genius. He says, let me show you an average guy. Average guy in the yeshiva. That's a story, by the way. How did they ever get Albert Einstein's School of Medicine? Einstein never gave his name away to anybody. When I was in YU, the story that I had heard was, and I had heard it verified by another one or two people, was that Albert Einstein never gave it away. And while you had asked him for the medical school, can we use your name? He said, absolutely not. So they said, you know what, can we just send you an average math student that we have? There was a genius about 19 years old living in Brooklyn at the time. He was studying at YU. And he was mamish, a child prodigy. He was a math genius. Can do unbelievable computations in his mind in a quarter of a second. A true genius. And they sent him to Einstein. And they said, you know, this is an average guy that we have in the school over here. And Einstein was very impressed with this guy. He says, oh, this is your average guy? Okay, I'll go ahead and you can use my name. You can use my name. He was so impressed. This is the average guy. So Rav Rudiman says, let me bring you over average guy. He's a brilliant Rav Rudiman. He says, ask him any pasuk at Tanakh. So he asks him a pasuk at Tanakh. He says, what do you mean? That's on Yevamos, Daf Lamed Beis. And what about that pasuk? Oh, that's in the Dorm, Daf Chav Ches. And what about that one? Ksuvus, Daf Kuf Yud, right? How do you know it? He knows it all from Shas. In fact, I had a great story. I know we're running out of time. But I said over the story in the shul. It's a good story. I was at Johns Hopkins going for a graduate degree many years ago. And I was taking a course in the Dead Sea Scrolls by a Dead Sea Scrolls scholar. His name is Dr. Kyle P. McCarter. What a guy. What a Kyle McCarter. And believe it or not, his sister converted to Judaism because of the greatest archaeological discovery of our time, the Dead Sea Scrolls, Qumran sect. We don't have time to get into it, but unbelievable discovery, of course. His wife converts to Judaism. This guy is writing commentaries in the Book of Samuel, and he's the head of the Far East Asian Studies Department at Johns Hopkins University, Ivy League quality school. And so we're sitting in the class, we're discussing the Qumran sect and how they were over on Baal Tosafot, how they added many commandments to the Torah. Sometimes they detracted. So one Jew pops up and he says, well, tell me, professor, we're talking about them adding commandments. How many commandments are there in the Torah? So the professor doesn't know. Why should he know? We all grew up 613. Now there is a big discussion on Rabban, the Tashbetz, and the Zohar Kiya. It's not so poshut. Where do we get it from? It's one line in Shas. That's it. The number 613. It's one line in Shas. The Edom Seches Makis, the bottom of Daf Chav Gimel Arbeis, Darish Rabbi Sinai, Torah Tzivah Lana Moshe, Torah 611, Anochi Vilayilach, and Pia Gevura Shamanim, 611 plus the first two, 613. That's where we get it. In fact, parenthetically, I once wanted to suggest the number 613 is only in accordance with what the opinion of Rabbi Simlai. It's Ki Rabbi Simlai. No coincidence. The gematria of Ki Rabbi Simlai is exactly 613. So, coincidental? No way. So, Ki Rabbi Simlai, 613. So, they asked the professor, how many commandments are there? So, he says, well, I don't know, but I'm sure our rabbinic scholar in the back, Rabbi Feiner, can help us out. And I don't want to make him look bad. You know, it's like the first thing you learn in Cheda, right? The first thing you teach in Halp, 613 mitzvahs. Who doesn't know it? So I don't want to make him look bad. So I start making the calculations, you know.
I said, Professor, everyone's watching me. I can feel their eyes. I said, I think it's 613. Yeah, and a Jew, oh yeah, I think he's right. Professor, yeah, I think he's right. Yeah, that makes sense. It reminds me. Meanwhile, I made the professor look a little bad. Here's this renowned Dead Sea Scroll scholar, and I'm just sitting in the back. I just want to get my A. That's it. I want to get the course over. No, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want to speak in the class. I don't want to make any trouble. And I made the professor look bad. So he was waiting to get me back. A few weeks later, there I am, sequestered in a little back corner, trying to hide myself. That's it. And we're discussing the eschatological times, messianic times, how Elijah the prophet's going to come and herald the coming of the Messiah. So a Jew pops up and says, tell me, Professor, where in scriptures does it ever talk about Elijah the prophet coming before Messiah? So he says, well, I don't know, but I'm sure a rabbinic scholar, Rabbi Feiner, could help us out. And I'm thinking like, well, the one pasuk I know in all of Tanakh, you know, I pay attention to Torah Shabbos, Galutz, Malachi, Perakimel, Pasuk, Chav Gimel. So I say, well, I think, Professor, you know, I said, that's enough. I'm not going to have this guy put me on his mind. I said, I think it's chapter 3, verse 23. Hine Alam, behold, I will send Elisha the prophet before to herald the coming of the Messiah, Yom Golo, and etc. That's it. Thank you very much, Rabbi Feiner. That's it. He thought I knew all of Tanakh by heart. He never bothered me again. He gave me an A on the course, an A on the thesis paper. I thought, this guy is crazy. He knows all Tanakh by heart. I knew one pasuk by heart. That's about it. So where were we? Can't digress when time is almost up. So we're talking about the Tayeg mitzvahs. So they got all 613 mitzvahs. That's Pihu. What's Pihu? The union of Zachar and Akeva. A woman got Torah Shemassah before the man. But who is Mitzvah? Who is commanded in a Torah Shemappeh? Kiddushin Chavtes and Mabes, the threefold exemption. Women are exempt. Ramam Hilchas Tam Torah Parakalaf Alochi Yid Gimel. So Mamela, women don't have as much of a Shaychas, as much of a connection to Torah Shemappeh. And thus, how much is in Torah Shemassah? Hey, Chamisha Chamshei Torah. You want to make a word feminine in gender in Lashon HaKodesh? Add hey at the end. Hey, Chamisha Chamshei Torah. La Osa Sefra Shulchana. She has more of a connection to the Chamisha Chamshei Torah, Torah Shemassah. And you want to make a word masculine in gender? Who is commanding in Torah Shemassah? The Vav Shisha Siri Mishnah of the man. That's the law. Osa Shulchana. Yet another Gishmaka Gura. That's it. You're going to leave tonight. Everyone's going to just learn Guras. Okay, so Lamaisa, lo. Oh, so ever you get a vav, that's Torah Shemapeh, that's the vav and hey. What's Pihu? The juxtaposition of Pihu, Pe Yud Hey Vav, Zoch and Akeva, that's what happened. What's protecting the Luchas Abris? Two Kruvim, Sukkah Heim and Beis Keravya, the Tinok, but it's a Zoch and Akeva, the two cherubs, masculine and feminine, that's what's protecting the Luchas Abris. That's what it's all about, the union, the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we get married to Hashem. What's it all about? It's all about Hashem giving us neshikas. What are the neshikas? The kisses are Anochi v'lo yelacha. Those are the two kisses. Anochi says Hashem, I love you. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Ani ohev etchem. And everybody else is out of the picture. That's why he gave us a second kiss. Exclusivity. Who do you think is going to correspond to Shavuos? Open up a tour, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh or Chaim Simtofi at Zion. He cites in the name of his brother Rabbeinu Yechiel. It's also brought in the Gra. Madur Tlisa and Adar Saliyon Parshas Bolak, Shemishmur, Ratzadok. Talk about it in a number of places as well. The Ovis corresponds to the Gimel Regolim. Yavram Avinu to Pesach, Yitzchak to Shavuos. Yitzchak Shavuos, why? Yaakov is Tyra. Isn't Yaakov is Tam Yoshev Olim? Isn't Yaakov Tyra? Isn't Yaakov the Omer Torah Ramchal, Derachayim, and Ovis Alabase, Ala Torah, Avodah, Gimis Asodim, and Tyra is Yaakov? He's the pillar of Tyra. Isn't that what he's all about? Maral Tafasasol, chapter 19. He's the quintessential, the paradigmatic, and Masamid. He sits 14 years, doesn't sleep. When Yaakov is Torah, Yaakov should be Shavuos. No, because we never got the Torah. You know who corresponds to Shavuos? Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Shavuos. Yitzchak is what? The total bittul, a korban. I give myself over to God. That's what Shavuos is. I give myself over to God because I want to receive the Torah. Yitzchak, interestingly enough, Avram Avinu married Sarah, but he also wed Hagar. Yaakov married Rachel, but he also married Leah. There was only one of the others who had an exclusive relationship with one woman, and one woman only, and that was, of course, Yitzchak, who corresponds to Shavuos. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Shavuos, and we're going to blow from the same Mount of Torah when Mashiach comes. That's Yitzchak. Oh, there's so much more to talk about Yitzchak, but that's Yitzchak and Shavuos and Mount of Torah. That's what it's all about. It was the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem gave us two neshikas. Anochi v'lo yilcha. When do we give the kisses back? We give the kisses back every time we say Shema Yisrael. Tosas and Brochus, the end of the first parak, Yudbeis and Yudbeis brings you Yushalmi in a Brochus, parak Aleph, Halacha Yehei. And the Avodrom, the Chidah, and Morib Atzpah, many of the Achronim talk about this. The Aser Sedibros are alluded to in the first parasha Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Echad corresponds to Lo Yilcha Lohim Acher Ampanai. Hashem gave us two kisses. What were the kisses? Hashem says, I love you, and everybody else is out of the picture. Anochi, God, you're my God, you're my Chasan Loyalchan, everybody else is out of the picture. That was the unique relationship established there at Har Sinai. So God gave us two kisses. When do we reciprocate? We give Him kisses every time we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Kenu Hashem Echad, Hashem Akenu corresponding to Anochi Hashem Lokecha, and Hashem Echad corresponding to Loyalcha. And why do you think we have the minog that we say Baruch Sheikh Van Mechuso whenever we mistakenly say Hashem's name in vain? Because Lo Sisa, the third Naser Sedibros, corresponds to the Pasuk, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus, the other part. If you messed up with Lo Sisa, you have to correct it, rectify it with Baruch Shem. So we give kisses back to Hashem every time we say Shema Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu had the Koach HaNashik on the pages of the Torah. He gives Rachel a kiss, he gives Yitzchak a kiss, he gives Menashe and Ephraim a kiss. Everybody except for Yosef. What did he do with Yosef? Parshas Vayigash, Chapter 46, Pasuk 29. Instead of giving Yosef a kiss, what do? He gave a Kriya Shema. Famous Maharal and Gor Aryeh. He took all that love, all that intensity, all that passion, and he gave a neshika. He gave a kiss to God. But what was that kiss? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Kenu Shema. So why is that the kiss that we give to God? Because Hashem says in Matan Torah, I want you to give me yourselves. That's what I want. It's not about you getting the Torah. It's not about you right now learning and mastering the Torah. It's about you being an Eved Hashem, like Yitzchak was the paradigmatic Eved. It's about give yourselves over to me. That's why it was about Shema Yisrael. So let's conclude with the following. I don't know if you ever heard this from me in the past, but it's going to blow your mind away. It's a fascinating phenomenon. Rabbeinu Bachai in his commentary on Parshas Tzav Perches Pasuk Chav Gimel. He brings in the name of the Chochmei Ateva. We have five fingers. Why do we have five fingers? Corresponding to the five senses. Writes Rabbeinu Bachai, each finger instinctively knows to be meshamish to serve one of the senses, the sense to which it corresponds. Why do babies suck their thumbs? Number one, why do they suck their thumbs? The thumbs taste better than the pinkies? Why don't they suck on their pinkies? Why not the middle finger? Why not the second finger? Rabbeinu Bachai, why do we clean out? We go to a restaurant and then we get meat stuck in between our teeth, and we always say, if we don't have a toothpick, right? If you're not going to be a mention, you're not going to be mocked on your manners in public, start taking your thumb and you squeeze out the... Why do we put our thumbs in our mouths? Because the thumbs, right, Rabbeinu Bachai, correspond to chush atam, that's the sense of taste. And unfortunately, we don't want to get disgusting, but people, when they feel the need to clean out their nose, they often go to the second finger. Second finger is used to serve the chush areach. Why is the third finger the longest finger? Corresponds to the sense of touch. It can scratch an itch on the body, wherever the itch might be. Corresponds to the sense of touch. People often clean out their eyes using the fourth finger. Clean out their eyes. And what happens when a guy wants to clean out his ears? Pinky. People want to clean out their ears. Why? Because each finger instinctively knows to serve the sense to which it corresponds. Five fingers, five senses. Our means of interacting with the universe around us, through the five senses. Shema Yisrael, Matan Torah is Hashem, I'm all yours. So what do we have to say? Shema Yisrael. That's giving the kisses back to Hashem. That's saying, Hashem, we're maskim. We want to be of the Hashem. That's what Matan Torah is all about. So what are we going to do? Well, what do we do every time we say Shema Yisrael? Based on the Gemara in the beginning and second paragraph, bottom of your Gimel and base, if you don't know, see the Rosh and the Iri, we take our hands and we put it over our eyes. The hands is the Dover Hagashmi Biyosa, the Tzadafisi Biyosa. The hands, Masa Yadayim, that's a means of interacting with the universe. Right? We all know the Jackie Mason routine. You look at a building in Manhattan, Jews aren't up there. Jews don't want to get their hands dirty, right? It's the guy. The guy having a bar mitzvah party up there. They're building, they're slaving away. Jews, right? They're paying the checks, they're giving the money. Jews don't like getting their hands dirty. That's Gashmi. That's all my Gashmi. That's Masa Yadayim. That's the hands. And what's the Ruchanias, the Neshama, the seat of the intellect, Menashe Yisrael, Nishus Chaim? The seat of the intellect, of course, is in the brain. Anyone who's ever heard Mark Salem, famous mentalist, knows he has a great book, Six Keys to Unlock and Empower the Mind. And he always says, even he's a walking lie detector, and he can look at you, and he can tell whether you're lying in the twitches and the movements. But he says, even when people hire great actors and they try to deceive him, he can always look into somebody's eyes. And through looking into someone, the dilation of the pupils, you can look into someone's eyes and you see the pnimius. Maral, upon him the face is pnimius, but when you look in the eyes, because the neshama, the kabbalim, right, dwells right behind the eyes. That's why I need a good eye doctor, by the way. There's a great eye doctor in town. Dr. Feiner, 360 Central Avenue, in case anyone's, hope everyone's writing. Great eye doctor. He saved people's lives by discovering brain tumors by looking into their eyes. You could see the pnimiyut by looking inside the eyes. So what do? We take the hand, the tzadik ashmi biyoser, and we subjugate it to the neshama that dwells behind the eyes. Einei ha'eda izu chacham ha'roes anolad. The eyes, that's chacham, that's wisdom, that's our intellect, that's our neshama. Writes Rav Avromel Shor in Alekach Haliva Parshas Vayigash, unbelievable. What is the hand called the yad? Gematria 14. Let's go to Ksuvus, the top of 5b. Five names for the five respective fingers. This is called the Godel. This is the Etzpa. This is the Amma. This is the Kamitza. And this is the Zeres. And if you forgot everything that I said tonight, You will never forget this one for the rest of your life, because if you add up the gematria of Yad, Godel, Etzpa, Amo, Kemitza, and Zeres, it equals exactly 1,118. And when you do that, when you say the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which likewise equals exactly 1,118. Wow. Geschmack. Torah is like the Honda Accord. Remember that old commercial? It's not only the car that sells itself, but isn't it great when everything just works, when it all fits? That's the Torah. It all fits. It all makes sense. It all comes together. Matan Torah was Hashem, we're giving you Neshikas back. We're going to kiss you back with our kiss of Shema Yisrael. That's what we're working on this Matan Torah. Yeah, I'm going to finish this Masech. I'm going to finish all the Tanakh. I'm going to finish this. It's great. And you got to learn. You got to learn that night with Asma the Rabba Vatsumo. At the end of the day, you know what Hashem wants to see? It's not about how much you learned Shavuos night. It's about how you learned Shavuos night. I want to know, did you learn with a total hisbatlus, with a subjugation that says, God, I know that I have my iPods and my iMacs and it's all about me, and I know we joked about this in life. It used to be Rogalach and Knedalach, and now it's all about Bisli and Kefli, and now the most popular gadget is all about the iPod and the iTouch and the iPhone and the iMac. It's all about the I, and of course Nintendo comes out with the Wii, and even when they spell the Wii, it's W-I-I, it's two I's, it's all about I's, until the German company came out with a tablet called the Wii, W-E, a German company out of all companies. They come up with the Wii. This is about Ishachad B'Lev Echad. It's about uniting Klal Yisrael together. It's about loving every Jew, loving every single Yid, and forgetting about the I. And it's not just forgetting about the I, the Anochius. It's forgetting about the iPods and the iPads and the music and the TVs and the internets and the Nintendo Wii's. And it's forgetting about the marriage of Prince William and forgetting about what happens. Yes, the Heat, they can mamish win 4-1. Are they going to go in and get to the championship? What's going to be? Kobe's out of the picture. Oh, we have to talk NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. When we get to Mount Torah, that's it. It's over. And I really hope that's all over by the time we get to Mount Torah, that no one's talking NBA, no one's talking NHL, no one's talking anything except the one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to give you kisses. I want to marry you. I want to marry you. I want to marry your Torah. I want to love your Torah. I want to live, eat, sleep, and breathe your Torah. That's what life is all about. And if we're not going to do that all year long, at least let's be making properly for Shavuos, and let's get to that Madrega where we say we love the Graz and we love Tyra and we love Amit Kamenetsky and we love this unbelievable yeshiva, and we're going to steig, and we're going to live the Tyra like never before. Hatzlacha, Rabbi, have an amazing night, a great Shabbos, and the most amazing chasen of your entire lives coming up.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Fine. I want to announce to everybody that next Thursday night, Rabbi Michal Rosenzweig, or Rosenzweig from Chief University, will be speaking here Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. Rabbi, it's a couple of dollars now, right now. There's a few. Please come forward.
Thank you very much.